This morning we began to think about grace, special grace. It is by that grace that makes the true believer a willing and consecrated servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble, willing, consecrated. Tonight I want us to focus a little bit more upon the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bringer of grace. We read from Hebrews, and the writer to the Hebrews is seen exhorting the people that they should continue in the grace of the gospel, reminding them that they belong to this new covenant, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator, the bringer of it. One of the Puritans has said this, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the wonder of the angels, the joy and triumph of the saints. He is our mediator. It's one of his several names and titles. He's called the Saviour. Is that his best name? His best title for you? Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will. The name Jesus means Saviour, means strong to save or powerful to save. And so he is called our Saviour. And our Saviour sets himself aside. He consecrates himself for his people. And as he saves us from hell, and as he saves us from sin, he is a consecrated Saviour. We are helpless and we are hopeless. And he has power to save. We cannot save ourselves. Only the Saviour can save. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And this is grace, to know the Saviour, to know the only one who can bring saving grace. It is the grace of God that we haven't been given one and only one place to look. We look to one person alone for our salvation. Nowhere else need we turn our eyes. I may have used this as an illustration with you before, I'm not sure, but some years ago we had a very elderly lady worshipping with us, lovely, godly soul, and over a period of about 4 or 5 years, her memory just left her. And she was in care of it's like a sheltered accommodation. And some friends every morning would go, and every Sunday morning they would ring the bell, the intercom, and phone through and say, "We're here, come to collect you for the morning service. Push the buzzer. Because they knew that if she didn't push the buzzer to let them in, that what happened was she would start wandering up and down the corridor, because once she got outside her door, every door just looked the same in her corridor. And they could see that, she could see her wandering around and backwards and forwards, and they were waiting for someone else to come to let them in. You see, what she needed was one door, or at least one of all of those doors saying, "This door." Had she got to the right door, she'd have got out. And our Saviour is this door. "I am the door," he says. There's thousands of doors all purporting to be the way. But Jesus says, no, "I'm the way." There is only one Saviour of mankind. And isn't that the grace of God to us? That he's put a label on every other door saying, no entrance, don't go this one. There's one door. And one only. We look to the one Saviour to whom we may go and through whom we find salvation. That's God's grace to us. He is the Saviour. And then he's the Redeemer. You know that beautiful story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz? And Boaz comes along, and Naomi knows that he has the right to redeem. Well, no, he hasn't. There's someone nearer to redeem. But will they? Can they? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us, and he becomes our near of kin, and he has the right to redeem us, the right to buy us back from the darkness and slavery of sin. He becomes a man in order to do that, our near kinsman. And so he buys us back, and it's all of grace. We've got nothing to give him. And then, of course, he is our mediator. That's the text from Hebrews 12:24. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. And the word mediator carries the idea of a middleman. Someone who comes and patches up a breach of disagreement or an argument, a war between two people. And because of sin, there is a breach between us and God. It's this way, isn't it? And Jesus comes and mediates the covenant that brings us to God. He reconciles us. All means of communication have broken down. But Jesus patches up all those lines of communication, deals with our sin, deals with the wrath of God, brings us together, mediates that one with another to bring us to God. Well, let's look a little further at this Saviour, this redeeming mediator. Let's understand his person. This will help us understand his grace if we do that. Well, we say of Jesus, don't we? It's as simple as 1, 2, 3. He is one person with two natures and three offices. He is one person, two natures, God and man, and holds three offices, prophet, priest, and king. So next time someone says, tell me something about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's 1, 2, 3. It's as simple as that. He is the one person. Whether we think of him on his throne in heaven or hanging from the cross at Calvary, he is the one person, whether we see him adored by the angels or whether we see him mourned at the graveside. One person, but with two natures. He is both God and man. Always God, never less than God. Although he takes to himself a real and a true human body, he becomes a man. He is incarnate. The word becomes flesh, and that is the word for what we live in, our flesh and bones. And the true flesh, the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ is the window through which we look and see the Father. What do you mean? What do you mean, says the Lord Jesus Christ, show us the Father and you will be satisfied. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So why does the Lord Jesus Christ become man? He becomes a sinless man, so that he may deal with sinful men. He becomes a sinless man, so that he may suffer as a man, and by his death draw us and redeem us, mediate and bring us to God. As a man, then, we know that he understands us. He lived an ordinary, in fact, he lived a poverty-stricken life as a young boy and child growing up in Nazareth. He understands life. He has lived a true and real life. Which means that when the scriptures tell us that he knows how to pity us in our weaknesses, and that he knows how to pray for us as our great high priest, we know that that is true. How wonderful that here is our great Redeemer, our Saviour, the Mediator who has brought us to God, who now knows all about us. He knows all our frailties and weaknesses, and therefore knows how to pray for us in our weaknesses. And as he prays, and as he supports us and upholds us by his prayer, isn't that grace to us? And so I would say to you, never lose sight of the fact that he is God. But once we regarded Christ according to the flesh, we think of him, we reckon him to be like that no more. Never lose sight of the fact that Jesus is God. Quite some years ago, we got a publication sent to us, a magazine, Christian magazine sent to us in one of these transparent, clear plastic envelopes. Oh, I wish it had been in a brown envelope. Blazoned across the front was, "Jesus is your best mate." Awful. Awful. We are almost the only white family on our street. Can you imagine if that had been misdirected and it had landed on the doorstep of one of our Muslim friends and neighbours? "Jesus is your best mate." Blasphemous. And all I got back from them was, "We're sorry you're upset." I felt I had to write and kindly say, "You can't say this. This is our Saviour, the God-man." So always when we think, yes, Jesus is the God-man, but think of him first as God, the Lord God. And here is Isaiah in the temple, and he sees the Lord high and lifted up, and the threshold shakes, and everything is rocking and heaving and being torn to pieces. And the glory he sees is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He trembles before the Deity. Chapter 9 of Isaiah, he speaks of the mighty God. And that is our Saviour. He is God. Thomas, no longer doubting, falls before him, kneels at his feet and says, "My Lord and my God." All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. So yes, while he is a true man, and whilst he is pleased at one level for us to think of him as our friend, we need to remember who that friend is and treat him with the reverence and the respect that he ought to have and deserves. How great is our Mediator! He has become our Saviour and our Redeemer, and he is God. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, he is called the Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega, titles that God himself takes to himself. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be honoured in the same way as the Father is honoured. John chapter 5 verse 23. Hebrews 1:6, he is worshipped by all the holy angels. He is our Creator and he is our God over all, blessed forever. He is the God-man. Still one person, but he is God and he is man. And this is the one who is our Mediator. Someone has said this, "It was only as a man that he could be our substitute, and only as a sinless man that he could atone for the sins of others, and only as God could he give his sacrifice an infinite value and worth." This, then, is our Lord Jesus Christ in his person. Now, secondly, let's think of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This grace, this wonderful, glorious, exalted being who is our Saviour, is the one who brings grace to us. John chapter 1 verse 16, out of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And so we see that he has grace without measure. Years ago, there was a very clever car advert, wasn't there? One of those things we used to see on the television from time to time. And the telephone rings and this very confident man in his overalls with the right badge on picks up the phone. And all he does when he answers the phone, he just says, "The answer's yes. Now what's your problem?" In other words, they were saying, "Our company, we have everything you need. Everything you want, it's all there. We can supply everything. And we need grace. We need grace every moment. And it is available. And it is sufficient. The answer is yes. Whatever we need, wherever, whenever we need it, the answer is yes. If we are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have access to the man who really can say yes. Out of his fullness, we receive grace upon grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ, infinite in his person, he is without beginning and without end. He is the immeasurable one. And we read of him in John 3 that he is anointed without measure. And what he has, he gives to all of us without measure, as we need it. Think of Joseph, back in the Old Testament. Joseph is a picture of what we're speaking of right now. Joseph is exalted to the throne. And he begins to fill the storehouses with grain. And he is in charge of the place of plenty. And he fills one storehouse, and then another, and then another, until it is impossible to count the quantity of grain that he has. And then, at the right time, he opens the storehouses. And out of those immeasurable resources, he feeds all who come to him. The Bible even speaks of it in one sense of being the whole world comes to him. The world is starving. And Joseph can feed the world. We need grace. And Jesus can supply it to the whole world. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? I'm mixing my metaphors up, my illustrations up here, I realize, but Jesus is the one to whom we go when we hunger and thirst. Out of his fullness, he gives us his grace. And here is a young church just emerging in those first New Testament days. And how do we read of it? A simple statement tells us all we need to know. And great grace was upon them all. Here is Paul, the Apostle Paul, with all the burdens and the responsibilities of his apostleship. The arduous task of writing to all these churches. His time of mission. Shouldering all those responsibilities. And then we read together, didn't we, that he's further burdened by an illness of some sort. And he says, "I prayed 3 times about this." That doesn't mean that he tacked it on to 3 morning quiet times. But no, 3 periods of prayer, extensive times, pleading with the Lord God about this particular illness. And what is he told? "My grace is sufficient for you." Yes, this thing has come upon you, Paul. And in my wise providence, I'm not going to lift it. But you can continue as an apostle. You can continue in your missionary journeys. And you can continue being the vehicle of inspired scripture. You can bear all these burdens, the churches and all the rest, because my grace is sufficient. And we today, here tonight, are supplied out of his all sufficiency. Of his fullness have we all received. He is a God of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vehicle of grace, the means of grace. So he gives grace without measure. He just gives it. And he gives sufficient grace. It's sufficient for us. Matthew 25, we have that strange picture, don't we, of the five wise and then the five foolish virgins. And the five foolish virgins go to the wise ones and they say, can you give us some of your oil? And they say, no, we can't do that. And what I want to draw from that is that he gives sufficient grace. He gives sufficient grace for each one of us, but there's none to spare. Can I put it like that? That the lesson then is that each one of us must go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ for his own, her own supply of grace. We go to him. He's the supplier. We don't go to each other. He gives grace, yes. He has it without measure. And so we see he gives us grace then for every situation. What is your circumstance today? Is it light or dark? Is it easy? Is it heavy? Two men sit in a cell. They've been badly treated, tortured, and tomorrow they know that they must go out carrying a bunch of sticks on their shoulders, and they know that each of them will be tied to a bonfire and set alight until they are burned to death. One man, Christian man, anticipating that, tries to hold his finger in the flame of the candle, and he can't do it. But when he goes to the funeral, the martyr's pyre, he is able to bear a bold and a noble testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was that? Why those two things? Well, quite simply, the night before, he didn't need a martyr's grace. My grace is sufficient. But there's a grace for each situation. God doesn't give a martyr's grace when there's no martyrdom. When it comes, then it is. And how often, think of your own life and testimony. Haven't there been those times you've gone through something and you've pleaded with the Lord and you've hung on, but hanging on. And then you come out through the other end and you look back and you think, how did I manage all that? How did I do that? Well, you know it wasn't yourself. But what you know is that God's grace was there, being supplied moment by moment as it was needed. And you look back and you say, well, if I was plunged back into that situation again, I couldn't cope. Well, no, you couldn't. But if you were plunged back in, then the grace comes again and supplies all and your every need. How good is the God we adore. And so there is a grace that comes to us. And I'm not being trivial here, but there's a grace that helps us shop. And a grace that helps us cope when the car battery fails. There's a grace that helps cope with unbelieving hostilities in the workplace or in the school. There's a grace that helps us cope with the tedious humdrum of life when those times when that's our lot. And there's a grace that helps us and keeps us when life is frenetic. Grace comes to each one of us as and when we need it. When we come to witness, grace comes to us and enables us and gives us words to speak. And when we pray, and it seems as though the ceiling is made of solid lead and about a foot thick, and we persevere in prayer, grace comes to enable us to pray and believe that the prayer does go through the ceiling. We're battered by temptation. And each one of us is prone in some area, and we have some particular weakness that's perhaps peculiar to us, and it doesn't trouble others, but we need grace here, not there, here. And the Lord God gives it. Jesus pours it out upon us. And will we persevere to the end? There's a grace for persevering. I read once of a man, probably wasn't true, but it will serve as an illustration. I read once of a man who saw an advert in the paper. And the paper advert was purporting to be from a company that were providing top quality Savile Row suits. And he thought, well, that sounds good, very cheap. And then he saw further down the advert, one size fits all. Well, this can't be true, this is false, isn't it? Grace is not like that. Grace is not a one size fits all. Grace is tailor-made. It's tailor-made for every day's requirements, every day's needs. When you need grace in this area and department, the Lord opens the floodgates and grace pours out. When you need it over here, is he faithless? Does he let us down? Does he delay? No, grace is there for us. How good is the God we adore? Jesus became Jesus, the man Jesus, in order to be familiar with all life's needs. Not so that he so much would know what was necessary, but so that we would know that he knows what is necessary. Grace only fails when we fail to seek it. Grace only fails when we fail to rely upon his grace alone. He has the willingness to give grace. He has the ability with the willingness. Oh, I love that story. The man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, Lord, if you're willing. Well, we are his children. And the Father's children. He is always willing to give us grace. But do you believe that? Do you? Is that your experience? Oh, how wonderful it is to look back over our Christian lives and see how God, in his great loving kindness, has been pleased through the Lord Jesus Christ to give us all those supplies of grace, to keep us going, to keep us moving onwards and forwards, to enable us to grow in grace. How, isn't it wonderful? He has grace without measure. And it's that grace that he gives, a sufficient grace, a grace that is measured. Are you convinced of that? Christian, are you, in the right sense, can I put it this way, are you relaxed in that? Confident? Not a cocky confidence that is worldly, but in a humble, dependable, relying way upon him for all that he would give. Do you go to him alone for grace? As you need it. And you know, there are times, aren't there, we get so immersed in things and somehow we know we're trusting when we're not specifically asking, but he does supply nonetheless. He knows that there are times when we get so immersed in things that it takes all our mental, emotional faculties to deal with what is in front of us. And you think he clicks over the off switch because of that? No, no. He is the God of grace, and it is sufficient, and it comes to us in a constant stream, a never failing supply. And one of the things that it does is that it makes us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that why we've been called into this Christian life? So that we may become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And how is that to be achieved? We can see the standard. We can see where it's been set. But oh, how to achieve it? Well, grace comes. And in the various ways in which our lives are led, the pathway, that winding pathway, and so it seems to us, the Lord Jesus Christ makes us to be more and more like himself. Yes, it's a straight and narrow path, but oh, doesn't it seem to us to be a path that takes us all over the place? And at every twist and every turn, he's there. And all along, he's making us more like himself. One day we will see him. We will see the God-man. We will stand before him. And one day we will be like him. Wonderful, glorious prospect. But what we're meant to do between then and now and then is to make ourselves more and more like him in the way that we live, the way we conduct ourselves, the way that we develop our minds and develop our emotions, the way that we develop our attitudes. All of those things, we are growing like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can only do that as we depend upon his grace. Are you convinced of your need of grace? A starving man doesn't need persuading that the soup kitchen is a good idea. A drowning man doesn't need persuading that the lifeboat is a good idea. And once we see that grace is our greatest personal need, and that he alone has the willingness and has the ability to give us grace, then we will continually go to him for that grace. We go for it every day. You know, there are some people, they like certain foods, and they say, oh, I deny myself this so that, you know, only every so often I eat this, oh, and it's wonderful. Okay, fine, but we're not like that with grace, are we? We need it, we love it, and it does us good, moment by moment. Why would we be a moment without it? Once we see our need of it, once we see that he alone is the source of it, then we desire to experience it every day, every moment of every day. And every day we give thanks to God for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Mediator, the one who gives us his wonderful grace. Grace upon grace, every day, right the way through to eternity. What a prospect. Amen.